better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, we got law professors here. What a start of a party.
The president has committed several impeachable offenses.
That demand constituted an abuse of power.
This is not how you impeach an American president.
President Trump's conduct, as described in the testimony and evidence, clearly constitutes impeachable high crimes and misdemeanors under the Constitution.
You look like a deranged Easter bunny.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studios.
No, I spent all of Thanksgiving vacation sitting there reading these transcripts.
What brought you to this lowly stage?
It was
Trump derangement syndrome.
I ate like a turkey that came to us in the mail that was already cooked.
No turkey, no turkey sandwiches, no turkey salad, no turkey gravy, turkey hash, turkey a la king.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
They have failed despite the fact that they had a process that basically put everything tilted in their direction. They now have come out of this and fundamentally failed to prove their case.
They're concerned that if they do not impeach this president, they can't beat him in an election. This is exactly what Alexander Hamilton warned us about.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Prime Minister, this morning when you approached President Trump before the meeting, did you apologize to him for your remarks last night?
Oh,
Every different leader has teams who every now and then have their jaws drop at unscheduled surprises, like that video itself, for example.
Well, he's too fast.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. I don't think it's too early to say that today's hearings were another unmitigated disaster for the Democrats.
Howie, the correct way to put this is they didn't really move the needle.
So we have Noah Feldman, the whiz kid from Harvard University. It now turns out that he supports Sharia law, which, again, to repeat, adultery for women is a capital offense. Sodomy for homosexuals is a capital offense. He thinks the West needs more Sharia law. This is the guy who wants to impeach Donald Trump for speaking ill of the press.
He sounds stable.
And we have his little pal from Yale and now from Stanford University, another person who thinks she should be on the short list for the Supreme Court when the next time some lunatic Democrat gets into the Oval Office. She ripped into the president's 13-year-old son earlier today.
I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Baron, he can't make him a baron.
It didn't even get that good of a laugh.
No, and then she sat back in her chair like she had just laid out the biggest insult, like she was Don Rickles, and just completely obliterated everybody.
And everybody else is going, what does she think of? And then they just thought of their, who's your favorite person who has a royal name, like Nat King Cole or Duke Snyder or Count Basie? You know, everybody's thinking, what is she talking about?
Yeah, like, did we have to bring in this professor from wherever so she could explain to us something we already all know? We're not that. We didn't go to Harvard or any of your fancy schools, but we're not that dumb. We know that if you name someone Baron, it doesn't make them a Baron. But thanks for explaining it to all of us idiot redneck morons.
Deplorable, irredeemable, bitter clingers who are, what did she call herself? A snarky, bisexual Jewish woman. That's what she called herself. But it's different. Snarky, that's unfunny, though, to say that. So today, but she took so much heat. Melania Trump even tweeted out about it. Matt Gaetz dressed her down, the congressman from Florida.
Melania Trump's tweet was actually entered into today's official record during the hearing as well.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I'm glad about that. So she did she apologize during the hearing or outside in the hall after it ended? Is it still going on?
During the hearing, it's still going on, I believe.
It's still going on. Wow. The first rule of being in a hole is to stop digging, isn't it? Don't you just step forward and just... This is why you have a referee for many reasons in a prize fight. You know, at a certain point, he steps in and he halts the fight. It's called a technical knockout. These people have knocked themselves out, haven't they? So she goes, let's hear her cut.
I think that's correct. And if I can just say one thing, I want to apologize for what I said earlier about the president's son. It was wrong of me to do that. I wish the president would apologize, obviously, for the things that he's done that's wrong. But I do regret having said that.
Nothing can be 100% humility with these people. Yeah, I'm sorry, but he should be more sorry.
God. What is wrong with these people? And they wonder why he's pulling away in these states, these battleground states. I saw something today. 10% of the people who voted for Hillary Clinton in the battleground states are now for Trump. Only, and my thought was only 10%? It's probably 15% after today.
Well, after this whole thing broke on Twitter about this Carlin person talking about Barron, all the people were tweeting, oh, they're just using this as a distraction. They're just, you know, getting all mad about her using Barron as a distraction. And I was thinking to myself, a distraction from what? Like, what are you trying to show us? We don't know what isn't a distraction at this point.
Complaining about the fact that Professor Feldman supports Sharia law, that's a Republican talking point. Republicans pounce on Professor Carlin insulting Barron Trump.
I'd love to see her insult Barron Trump to his face, because he's like 6'5" and
yeah,
13 years old.
Yeah, he is. You see him out on the lawn at Mar-a-Lago kicking the soccer ball around. He's I don't know. Why go after him? It's just, I mean, and the thing was, it wasn't even the kind of thing you make a point to. And then she's just such a nasty person. She can't even deliver the apology without trying to take another shot at Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump takes shots at Hunter Biden, you know, who's a degenerate, he's a crack addled loser, but you know, he doesn't take shots at the baby, you know, the stripper's baby.
If that's baby Burisma to you,
baby Burisma,
not the
that's
stripper's
right.
baby, it's Burisma,
young Burisma. Burisma Biden. He likes the Grampy. Grampy's looking forward to having him, you know, rub his leg.
Oh, please. It's a family show.
By the way, breaking news tonight on the Burisma Biden front. This is from the Daily Mail. Again, a story you will never read in the paper of record, the New York Times or the Washington Post, where democracy dies in darkness. Hunter Biden will now have to tell the judge in his paternity case in Arkansas exactly how many hundreds of thousands of dollars he made by sitting on the board of the Ukrainian oil company. This is from the Daily Mail. Judge Don McSpadden, who's presiding over the court in Batesville, Arkansas, says that Hunter S. Biden and the stripper, they will have to reveal how much they made. So she'll have to reveal how much she made in $1 bills in tips at the as a stripper at the Empire Club in Washington, D.C., where the two met. The judge says he needs 5 years of records before making a decision on how much the vice president's son should pay in child support for young Burisma. And he said he wants to decide the payments, the child support payments, on January 7th. That's not far away, is it?
But will that mean they have to release the records to everyone, or the judge just gets to see them? Or do they become fair game so we could see how much he made?
I think we'll probably get a chance to see. And I think when he issues his decision, that will definitely be public record. So we'll see how. I mean, I would assume that Hunter's been making big bucks, and he keeps saying, he said in that interview with, what was it, 60 Minutes or somebody, whoever he gave the big TV interview after the New Yorker interview, he said, "I haven't seen a dime from the $1 billion that from China," which is all BS, because he's looking at when they cash that fund out. $1.5 billion or whatever it is, he's going to get 15, 20 million bucks. So that's going to have to be in there, too. I want the affidavit. This is what the judge said. I want the affidavit of financial means and supporting documents to cover the last 5 years. This is not good news out on the no malarkey bus rolling down the highways and byways of the Hawkeye State. All right. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
This is Chris in Rochester, Mass.
This is Mark in Nashville, New Hampshire.
This is Lorna in Truckstown, Pennsylvania. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
I'm not a supporter of President Trump. I voted against him. My personal views of President Trump are as irrelevant to my impeachment testimony as they should be to your impeachment vote. President Trump will not be our last president. And what we leave in the wake of this scandal will shape our democracy for generations to come. I'm concerned about lowering impeachment standards to fit a paucity of evidence and an abundance of anger. I believe this impeachment not only fails to satisfy the standard of past impeachments, but would create a dangerous precedent for future impeachments.
The only word I would object to in there is scandal. What scandal? What did he do? Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy, but with Roman now it can be. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for erectile dysfunction all from home. No awkward visits to the physician or the pharmacy to pick up a prescription. Everything delivered, all calls and conversations from the comfort of your own home online. Go to GetRoman.com/Howie to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Did you watch any of today's hearings?
No, and I'm glad I didn't.
17% say they did.
Oof.
Those poor, unfortunate souls.
I feel your pain. We could play a bunch of cuts from the pundits talking about how Kamala Harris was the best candidate in the world and she was going to be the next president. But I'll just read you one cut here. This is from Chris Saliza. He's a pajama boy Democrat stenographer from the DNC steno pool. Works for CNN. This is from November 2018. Harris seems to be exactly what Democrat voters are telling the party and its politicians they want representing them going forward. A youngish, she's 54, non-white woman. Harris looks like the Democrat Party base these days. And if 2020 is anything like 2018, that's a very good place for her to be. Add it all up, says Chris Saliza, and we've got a new number one on our 2020 rankings. As they used to say on Saturday Night Live, never mind. Never mind.
You sure you don't want to hear all those media outlets praising Kamala Harris?
Okay, you talked me into it.
And she's a great candidate.
I think she's a great candidate, and I think that
you can't say she ran a great race.
Well, I did say.
Of course, you're rooting for the sister that's running for president, right?
Really, the first major candidate to drop out of the race.
Rising story, real threat to President Trump. She kind of got inside his head.
I thought she checked all the boxes.
I remember on your show, she was just extraordinary.
She is genuine. She Absolutely. Is warm.
I love her.
She's sparkling.
She brings a remarkable passion.
It's a bittersweet moment. I think it's a high integrity move on her part.
She is a very
young and talented a political figure.
Kamala Harris looks like the future of the Democratic Party.
Kamala Harris, the telegenic California senator.
I think she's a better candidate now than she was when she started.
I do think that women are still held to different standards as candidates.
It's tough to be a black woman in politics.
They have to be perfect on the stump, which she, I never saw her stumble. Was she treated badly by the press? I mean, just
I think she was definitely treated badly by the press.
She got pummeled by, you know, sexism.
Pete Buttigieg, like a lot of white guys, evaluated on his potential. She's evaluated based on her resume and her daily performance.
Somebody said they never saw her stumble. That's somebody who hasn't been paying very close attention to what's been going on. And how about sparkling? I think somebody left the cap off the sparkling bottle. It's very flat. Wow.
I got to get that laugh down.
I think that has to be a new sound cut. That's the new Mitt Romney.
Nah, no one can replace ha, 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 ha. All right. Now, how about Donnie Deutsch? Donnie Deutsch. He used to not have really an accent or not a distinctive accent, but now Donald Trump has become president. And they've all gone crazy in different ways. And he's developed this New York Lower East Side street accent, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Here he is talking about what they have to do to defeat the evil orange man, 24.
Simply facts and the laws are not going to protect us right now. And the point being for the Democrats, we need to twist and meld and work. We are fighting against an enemy, the Republicans, with machine guns, and we can't bring a knife to it. And I'm not saying do anything dishonest, but we have to find a way to take what is happening there and make it so compelling to the voter, because otherwise we're going to get four more years of Donald Trump.
The Republicans have machine guns? Who shot Rand Paul and Steve Scalise? Or shot at Rand Paul and did shoot Steve Scalise? Who shot the five police officers in Dallas? Who shot the two cops in New York who were just sitting in their patrol car?
But also, I hate this narrative they're pushing, like, no more Mr. Nice Guy. We need to start playing like the Republicans do. It's like, so the Brett Kavanaugh thing, that was you guys taking the high road?
Or how about just today?
Yeah.
Just today.
You guys play dirty all the time. You just happen to play it very, very bad. Doesn't mean you don't play dirty.
Again, it's the old thing we've been talking about since November of 2016. It's projection. Everything they accuse us of doing, they're doing. You know? I mean, they brought up a professor today who thinks Sharia law is okay. Who thinks it's superior to Anglo-American jurisprudence.
As long as he doesn't approve of Christianity, then we're all okay.
I think that goes without saying, judging by that column in the New York Times. We'll take your calls when we come back. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Boston police charge man in alleged snow shovel attack. A senseless street crime on the snow-covered streets of Boston. Eddie Smith, 58, was arraigned Tuesday in Roxbury District Court, where he was charged with two counts of assault and battery. 11:57 a.m., police responded to a report of Tremont and Prentice Streets, found an adult man suffering from a head wound. The victim was struck with a snow shovel and then pulled out a box cutter and slashed the victim over the eye. A snow shovel. Mr. Speaker, how many more must be assaulted with these snow shovels? We need a 7-day waiting period for snow shovels, Mr. Speaker.
He's lucky that's all he got. A snow shovel. Gee whiz. Was this over a parking place?
It doesn't say. I mean, it must have been something like that, though, right?
Yeah. A lot of worse has happened over parking spots.
Well, I mean, sometimes you steal the parking spot and you get your tires slashed. But I guess it's better to have your tires slashed than
the equalizer.
Good Lord. 844-500-4242. A couple of ICE stories here. ICE official blasts New York authorities for releasing twice deported suspect facing manslaughter charge. Here's another one. ICE catches alleged child sexual predator repeatedly released by Philadelphia police. All right. Just a quick update. Well, we'll take a couple of calls, and then we'll do some updates on the EBT stories from last night. There's more EBT scandals today, and Tal Duvall is defending his department. He says he's hired 10 people to be studying these transactions. But somehow the Herald had one or two people looking over them, not 10 people, and they were just doing it in between doing other stories, and they turned up this $800 charge at this posh Hawaiian spa. What were the 10 people doing on the ICE, the EBT fraud squad? 844-500-4242. Jacob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jacob.
Hi, Howie. It's an honor and privilege to talk with you today, sir.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about the border wall funding. I heard the news that a $250 million contract's been awarded to put up the border wall, and all we can get out of the news media is the focusing on the impeachment process and all that. We can't get one word about how the funding has been awarded and how the border wall is going up.
Well, I mean, they were not reporting on those ICE stories that I just mentioned. I mean, those are pretty big stories, aren't they? You know?
Get any reporting about this, the Ebola outbreak in Africa and those people coming over here. We get zero reporting about that.
Let me give you another story. I'm glad you brought this up as a topic, Jacob. Here's another story that they're not reporting on. DOJ, Department of Justice, just filed an indictment against a convicted pedophile used in the Mueller investigation, was indicted for funneling millions in illegal contributions to Hillary. This guy's name is George Nader. He's been convicted in Prague of sexually abusing minors to a one-year prison term in May of 2003. He was arrested in New York City in June for allegedly transporting visual depictions of minors engaged in sexually explicit conduct. It turns out he and his business partner laundered. They're accused of laundering $3.5 million in illegal campaign contributions for Hillary Clinton. But they're after Trump for making a phone call. And no one's reporting this. They're just saying, apparently, he gave $300 to Trump for the inaugural committee. So they're making it seem like he's a big Trump contributor when actually he's another pederast. He goes after boys. He's a pederast Democrat like that guy Ken Buck, who in West Hollywood, who's allegedly killed two gay black male escorts. None of this stuff is getting reported because they're just covering this nonsense. 844-500-42. Thanks for the call, Jacob. James, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, James.
Howie, thank you very much. I'm really getting bugged on this. It's been a couple weeks now. Aren't these the same people a few years ago that said, they were saying that the Constitution is an old document, it's outdated, and the founding fathers were just a bunch of farmers?
Obama said it's in the paper, right? When he was talking about the Second Amendment, he said it's on the paper. I think that was his exact phrase, something like that. Yeah, and the founders, I mean, these are the people, they're tearing down their statues around the country, right? They were slave owners. And now they're talking about the founding fathers. This guy Feldman, who supports Sharia law, had the audacity to say today that if we ever run into Hamilton and Madison in the afterlife, we're going to have to explain what we did during this crisis. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I mean, these people hate the founding fathers. They don't like the Constitution. Hillary Clinton ran for president, basically. You know, she didn't say it in these exact words, but she said she was going to do something about Citizens United, i.e. the First Amendment, and she was going to do something about D.C. versus Heller, i.e. the Second Amendment. So, but now they want to protect the entire Constitution, not just the Bill of Rights, when their favorite candidate that they're so angry about, she lost. That's why they hate Trump so much, because the candidate they wanted who was going to dismantle the Bill of Rights lost. It doesn't make any sense, does it, James?
No, but all of a sudden now it's we got to protect the Constitution. We got to protect our democracy and everything. They don't care a lick about it. You know, it's...
Right.
That drives me crazy.
And Turley made this point, the professor who's, you know, the Republicans put up there, even though he's a Democrat. He made the point that and everybody's made it on the Internet, just, you know, quoting the Federalist Papers and other documents from that era. The founding fathers were very concerned that the impeachment process would become just what it's become, which is just a political tool. By a party that is temporarily in the majority. And I think it was de Tocqueville, maybe somebody else said, you know, the impeachment process will be abused by a people that does not have morality or respect for the law. And if that doesn't describe the modern Democrat Party, I don't know what does. Thanks for the call, James. 844-500-4242. Here's another. This is from the L.A. Times. A Los Angeles police officer is under investigation after a random review of body camera footage showed him fondling a dead woman's breasts, according to a person briefed on the incident. The LAPD officer and his partner had responded to a report of a body at a residence. The officer fondled the corpse's breasts while his partner was not in the room. Officer Weinstein could not be reached for comment. 844-500-4242, or was it Officer Epstein? Or was it Officer Lauer? Or Clinton? It was a Democrat, whoever he was. Stephen, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Stephen.
Hi, Howie. How you doing?
Good.
I couldn't take any more of the impeachment hearings. But anyway, what was I going to say? This whole thing about Ukraine, one of the things that's like completely overlooked here is the fact that the Ukrainians were being ginned up by the Democrats that Trump was, because he was so horrible and he was so evil. So this Russian collusion thing and you know, Trump being Putin's puppet was designed to like get the Ukrainians into a fervor so that they would help to interfere with Trump's election.
How about the fact that this guy that works for the New York Times, Kenneth Vogel, when he was working for Politico in 2017, he wrote a story saying the Ukrainians were trying to get back on Donald Trump's good side after working so diligently for Hillary Clinton in 2016. You know? I mean, that's the, they've, you know, now Vogel has become like a persona non grata at the New York Times for having written this story, for telling the truth. Now they have to go along and, you know, get with the party line. And again, we keep coming back to this. How about the fact that they, you know, all these people are so disturbed or claim to be disturbed that there was a temporary hold on military aid for Ukraine. There was a halt on military aid for Ukraine for 8 years while Obama was president and while Russia moved in and took one third of the country. Where was their outrage then? How come nobody was trying to? How come none of these angry bureaucrats and professors were trying to impeach Barack Obama when he wasn't giving them anything other than blankets and not even delivering the blankets? They had to go to Poland to pick them up. They don't care. You never hear them talk about that, do you, on MSNBC or CNN?
No. But the thing is, the New York Times is almost too smart for themselves sometimes, because if you go back to the early editions when a story first comes out, they kind of like misspeak and they say things that are kind of like damaging to their own position.
Right.
Like when they wrote the story about Trump was wiretapped.
Right. I was thinking the exact same thing. Yeah. Yeah, on Inauguration Day, if you don't remember, Stephen has a good memory, they had a story about Trump being wiretapped. That was the word they used, wiretapped. It was on the front page, and it was on Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2017. And then two or three months later, right, Stephen, they were saying Trump is just making this stuff up about how he was wiretapped. And they forget their own front page.
Periodically, I have to repost that on Facebook. Oh, yeah, Trump is a conspiracy theory. It's like, no, I have a copy of that newspaper. Google can't revise their searches because I have a copy of it and I can put it on Facebook.
Right. And they, you know what else they can't revise? They can't revise the chronology. Trump was holding his transition team meetings at Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue on the east side of Manhattan until he was visited by the head of the NSC, Admiral Rogers, and Admiral Rogers told him he was being surveilled in Manhattan. And the next day, he moved the transition team down to the country club in New Jersey, correct?
Yeah, and that's when Mike Rogers reported it to the attorney, the Inspector General's office, which is where the reports started to originate.
Right, and then I think, the next day, Brennan started lobbying Obama to get Mike Rogers fired because he had tipped off Trump to the attempted coup.
I got to clear my mind from impeachment. I got to go to Barnes & Noble and read some of the wonderful new conservative books that are out there.
I hope you've read What Really Happened by Howie Carr.
I got my eyes on a witch hunt of Greg Jarrett. I love Greg Jarrett. He is brilliant. He is detailed.
Yeah, he is. He's good. There are a lot of good. Andrew McCarthy's book is good, and Lee Smith's got a good book. There are a lot of good books out there. Dan Bongino's got a good book out. But go, definitely don't forget What Really Happened, How Donald J. Trump Saved America from Hillary Clinton. You can go to HowieCarrShow.com, HowieCarrShow.com. Click on store. We have four great deals for $19.99, very reduced prices. Some of that one deal is $58 worth of books for $19.99. We got T-shirts and books available for $19.99. We got the Kennedy Babylon pair of books, 600 pages on the scandal and depravity, a century of scandal and depravity by the Kennedy family, $19.99. Check them all out. You can get all your Christmas shopping done at once at HowieCarrShow.com, HowieCarrShow.com. Click on store. It's a great deal, $19.99. While supplies last, I'm Howie Carr.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
This is Karen from Billerica, Massachusetts.
This is Adrian in Swanton, Vermont.
This is Miss Susan up in Warner, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
So we told you last night about the story in the Herald that was on the front page about the expenditures, the out-of-state expenditures at posh resorts on EBT cards. And Charlie Baker defended Tal Duvall. He defended EBT card integrity after the Herald reported Hawaii and Vegas spending. So the big one, the most outrageous one is that we could find was at the Princeville Resort. That's in Hawaii. It's one of the top, I guess, hotels. $800 a night to stay there.
And in a room. In a room.
That's in a room. That's an expensive room, $800 a night. So somebody spent $400 at the Princeville Resort last November. $400. They didn't say what it was spent for. Tuesday night, last night, the Department of Transitional Assistance said that, quote, after the Princeville transaction, the household was asked to verify residency and did not. So as the case closed and the benefits were expunged from the card. What does that mean they were expunged? They expunged the $400 by going to this expensive resort. And as for there was another one at a Sheraton in Waikiki. And the... that was looked into as well, $140, and the layabout was able to prove that their travel was it was temporary. Oh, that's nice. So in other words, they went on a vacation. But in the meantime, now the another review by the Herald discovered something that apparently had never been turned up by these 10 new auditors that are working for the state. A vape shop in Chicopee is one of the stores at which state-issued EBT cards have been used in an apparent violation of the rules, records show. So you can't sell vaping products in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Apparently, though, there's an exemption if you're on welfare. You can use your EBT card to still go there. If you work for a living, you can't buy it anymore. As the Herald reported Tuesday, tobacco products are on the list of items EBT cardholders are banned from purchasing, but records obtained by the Boston Herald show transactions from a vape easy, the 250 Easy Convenience and Vape Store shop in Chicopee. An employee of the shop said Tuesday, "We do not sell food. They do not sell food. We sell cigarettes, tobacco, glass bongs, but no food. Candy and soda, but no food."
It was probably the candy and soda.
EBT card transactions were also recorded at the International Smoke Shop in Fall River, where an ATM is advertised on the window. Do you know that? You know that place, Taylor? The International Smoke Shop.
Where is that?
Fall River.
No, I don't spend too much time in Fall River.
Oh, well, excuse me. The Boston Smoke Shop in Gloucester also appears in the EBT records reviewed by the Herald. In one transaction, an EBT card was used for an unspecified $40 purchase. The shop is online, listed online as permanently closed. They may have been shut down by Tall Duvall and the vaping crackdown until they raised the prices. They raised the taxes to 75%, and now with the tax up at 75%, they're going to reopen on December 11th. Rich, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, Howie. I'm a lot more at ease knowing that you're down in Florida, a lot less likely to get assaulted with a snow shovel down there.
Yeah, I know. I don't even know where I would get a snow shovel in Florida. I don't know. I don't think I don't think Home Depot or Lowe's carries a big line of snow shovels down here in South Florida.
But watch out for those flip flops. Yeah, but that guy that was speaking at the impeachment, talking about the Republicans having a machine gun and the Democrats having a knife, that sounds more like the London Bridge attack.
Yeah, it does. Donnie Deutsch from MSNBC, he wants the Democrats to arm themselves with narwhal tusks to fight back at the evil orange man. See you tomorrow at 3. I'm Howie Carr.